He started cycling when he was two on a 16-inch BMX bike, began riding competitively in 1991 on a cross-country mountain bike. In 1994, started competing in criteriums and road races to help his mountain biking. But since then, he's become one of Australia's greatest ever road racing cyclists. He was the first Aussie to ever reach the podium in Paris in the Tour de France, coming runner-up in 2007 and 2008, and recently became Australia's first world road race champion. A book describing that journey, Close to Flying, was released just a few days ago, and it's already being reprinted. Cadell Evans joins me in the studio this morning. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Good afternoon.
It's still morning.
Still morning. We're nearly there. Sorry, we're in that period of changeover. Good morning.
I guess that's showing that you've been on the road for the last few days, going from city to city with all sorts of book signings and meeting people. It's probably pretty hard to keep track of exactly what's going on.
Probably am struggling to keep track of it a little bit, but life as a professional cyclist is kind of the same. The only thing that really put me off for today was my alarm went off on Melbourne time this morning, which is a little bit annoying. 4:30 as opposed to 6:30 or something, it wasn't.
My first question, let's get this out of the way. Who do you think will be runner-up when you win the Tour de France next year?
You're very optimistic there. I like to hear that. Optimism goes a long way in sport. And at this point, we've still got a few more teams to see how they are. And even Alberto Contador, it'll be interesting to see what team he rides with. And I think that'll have a big influence on how he performs in the Tour de France. At this point, I'd say Alberto is still the favourite for the Tour de France in 2010.
Last week, we heard that you were leaving Silence Lotto, and then this week, we hear that you're joining BMC. Of course, BMC hasn't got an automatic entry to the Tour de France. How do you think that's going to shape up?
It's a little bit of a surprise to most people that I would go to a team that doesn't have a guaranteed start at the Tour de France, but this sort of not being in the Pro Tour also offers some advantages as well as a team. But I go to the team because they're very professional, they're very well organised, and so much so with the quality of riders, the quality of staff and management and so on that the BMC team has. I have faith that together we can prove to the Tour de France organisers and probably the rest of the world that we shouldn't be left at home in July, and that's, I've got faith in that. And well, if we don't do it, well, that's our own fault probably, but you know, sometimes you have to play these little risks in life, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, certainly with the guys that you've got on the BMC team, the organisers have got to sit up and take notice.
Well, yeah, it's not just the names that are on the team, but also we have to prove to ourselves that we're at a sporting level, and also the tour, you know, obviously on an ethical level and so on and so on. The tour organisers also take this into consideration, which is perfectly understandable. And that's, you know, on every aspect, I think we've fulfilled the criteria, but on the sporting level, we've still got to prove ourselves in the season next year.
How difficult is it going into the tours that you've done so far with such a huge expectation on you?
Often, especially in 2008, there was a certain amount of expectation, and I think in some circles there were some people who just were so sure that I was going to win the Tour de France in 2008. For me, it's never like that. It's never over till it's over, and that means crossing the finish line. In the case of the Tour de France, it's 3,500 kilometres in crossing the finish line on the Champs-Élysées. It's you know, a lot can happen between the start and the end of the tour, and a lot did happen, and in the end I didn't win it. I think I rode a very good tour, all things considered, but expectations for me, you know, I put quite a lot of pressure on myself, and I have quite high expectations of myself, and beyond that I don't take much of many other people's expectations into consideration.
Well, in 2008, early in the tour, there was that crash. How much of an effect did that have throughout the rest of the tour?
For me, that was what lost me the Tour de France in 2008. I had a crash, I think it was on stage 9, and it wasn't someone crashed right in front of me. We were going quite fast, and there wasn't anything I could do to avoid it, but I did finish the stage that day, which already for me that was a good thing, and I did finish the tour that year, and I finished it on the podium. For me, in my mind, how I judge my 2008 Tour de France, just getting on the podium, considering how much I was hindered by that crash, was I personally felt that I rode a very good tour. That crash, it really took away 5-10% of my strength.
I reckon every moment of September the 27th this year is going to live in your memory forever, when you took that championship. Talk a little bit about that.
On the 27th of September, thanks for reminding me of the date. It was the World Championships, and which are held once a year in cycling. And yeah, it's 6 kilometres to go in a 262-kilometre race, I think it was this year. Yeah, I got a gap. I went away on the field, and I rode away to the finish on my own to win the World Championships, which well, ticks off a very big box in any cyclist's career. And it's a box, you know, I've had there unchecked for 15 years since I went to my first World Championships in 1994. But the whole race and the whole experience, and especially after the bad luck that I had this year and the disappointing Tour de France and the frustrations at the Tour of Spain, and it really came at a perfect moment and was really worth the wait.
Well, you've had your critics who have said that you don't attack, and yet you proved there, going away on your own, first of all in the breakaway and then going away on your own 6 kilometres out. You certainly know how to attack.
I know how to attack. Some critics would say that they should probably concentrate on writing their newspaper articles rather than making such criticisms about things that they don't quite know enough about.
The book Close to Flying. How long did it take to put that together?
2 years. It started in December 2007, and it started between Rob Arnold, who's people who follow cycling know he writes Ride Cycling Review, what I would say is a very good quality cycling quarterly cycling magazine in Australia, and myself. And yeah, we'd started out an idea, and my motivation behind it all was to offer people an insight into the Tour de France, and then of course the story about me and how I became a Tour de France rider, etc., is also a big part of that book, more because it was a bit of a unique story, I suppose, my upbringing and so on, and maybe that gives an indication as to why I'm a bit of a unique individual. But yeah, we started 2 years ago, and it really, for me, it was just to offer people an insight and sort of, help people appreciate the sport of cycling as well, and offer an insight into that and understanding for it.
And you must be pleased that already they're reprinting it, that it's selling well.
Yeah, I understand it's selling quite well. It's not something I'm following too closely. I'm sort of more interested in people's sort of reaction on it and whether people like it or not. That's what really to me judges whether it's a good book or not. And but it's been well received, and I think it's certainly offered an insight into the art. A lot of the aspects to contribute to your performance on the bike, but some of these aspects you would never consider something that you have to overcome to become a Tour de France rider.
A lot of people talk about drugs in the sport, and that must be difficult, knowing that you're out there racing as hard as you can, but you're not always racing just against someone else who's put in the skills and the training to make it there.
Yeah, that's obviously that's going to be something in that's part of cycling and part of sport, and certainly elite level sport, professional sport. But to me, it's you know, no matter what we do in life, there's always going to be cheats out there and people looking for an easier way or a way to get richer or more famous or whatever. And that's just the world we live in, and it's up to each of us as individuals to do what we do and do it as we see correctly.
Do you think that there are, I mean, because the impression comes across from some people that there are more drugs in cycling than other sports, do you think that's the case, or is it just that the cycling bodies are clamping down on it a lot more?
No, I think that's probably, maybe I wouldn't say it's the opposite, but but it's cycling due to its history in regards to medicine and assistance, and the thing is the Tour de France, because it's so physically demanding, if there is an advantage to be helped buy drugs, it's probably going to help more in an event that's as demanding as the Tour de France, as is drugs are helping any sport where power is involved, speed or power. But because of this history, cycling deservedly got a lot of scrutiny from the media, and because of this scrutiny from the media, the cycling federation, the international cycling body, the UCI, has had to take a no holds barred approach to the fight against drugs in sport, and for this now we are the most drug tested people on the planet, and now it's cycling that's leading the way with the breakthroughs, the blood passport system, and now the athletes whereabouts system, which has been picked up by other sports. It's the other sports that are now following cycling in the fight against drugs in sport. But it's also the more drug testing you do, the more chance you're going to find the cheats, which doesn't reflect very well on your sport very clean. Yeah. So that's where it becomes a little bit of a catch-22. It's pretty easy to say your sport's clean if you don't catch any cheats, but that's not necessarily saying your sport's clean, is it?
No. How tough is the Tour de France to ride in it? Because I've heard it said that it's like running a marathon every day for the 21 days of the tour. How tough is it to get out there? And, I mean, I know what it's like to ride 200 kilometres in a day, but I do that with taking breaks all the way along. You guys go out, do more than that at race speed up the side of a mountain. How tough is that?
Well, being a professional cyclist for quite a long time now, I'm used to suffering on my bike, and that's probably what's key to getting through the career as a professional cyclist. But the Tour de France, sometimes I've heard it as regarded as in 3 weeks of world championships, because every day is quite is a very high level, because it is the Tour de France, and of course 3,500 kilometres, whether it's the Tour of Italy or the Tour of Spain or the Tour de France, they last for 3 weeks, and they're all pretty tough. But at the Tour de France, probably the level is at its highest that it is of any stage race during the year in the world of cycling. And you're against the best bike riders in the world, in the biggest bike race of the world, and they're all at their best condition for the season. So for that reason, certainly the toughest event in cycling. Whether it's the toughest event in world of sport, I'm not quite sure.
We've heard just today that the BMC team has been given a wildcard entry into the Tour Down Under. That must please you?
Yeah, of course. I'll be with a new team, and I'm sort of honoured to be able to present my World Championships jersey to the Australian public, and also my new team to the Australian public. We didn't go an automatic start in the Tour Down Under because we're not part of the Pro Tour cycling. But I think for the Tour Down Under, hopefully they'll be pleased to have me. But most of all, it's for me, it's just a chance to show the rainbow jersey of the world champion to the Australian public. And so, thanks to the Australian public for the support this year through thick and thin. I've always had a lot of really helpful support from the Australian public.
And of course, you'll be racing there against Lance Armstrong once again. How much of a threat do you think he's going to be over the coming seasons, or has his time passed?
No, I think his return to the sport this year and getting on the podium of the Tour de France doesn't surprise me. Someone who can beat cancer and come back and win 7 Tour de France's on the trot. So obviously an exceptional individual. But I think at the Tour de France this year, we'll see Armstrong at another level, and that's where I'm. Tour Down Under, I'm not real fussed how he's going. I'm more interested in how he's going in July, and for that matter, I'm more interested also in how I'm going against him in July.
Well, Cadell, it's been great to talk to you. I know you've got to move on, got all sorts of appointments for the rest of the day as they take you from place to place, but thanks for sharing some time with us today. It's been a delight. Thanks for all you're doing for Australian sport, and especially for the sport of cycling. It's been great to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you very much.